All right. So because I got a lot of stuff to cover, and I rehearsed this last week and found out it took me about 1 hour and 14 minutes. So usually I love the interaction and love the questions. I will certainly take any questions that you feel are easy answers, like yes or no. Anything other than that, you might hear me say, "Great question." And we'll move on. And then come talk to me later. I don't want to dissuade anyone from asking questions. But in part of the reason I get, I, part of the, what I get out of these events is actually the interaction and the questions. So I'll be working in the office booth a lot this week. I will be doing, if you've seen the Garage series or the Microsoft Garage, it's a bunch of like 15 or 20 minute presentations, about 4 a day this whole week. So I'll be doing some of those as well. Anyway, welcome. My name is Curtis Sawin. We are going to talk about Office 365 Pro Plus deployment and positioning yourselves to handle the new changes and updating your skills so that you can get ready for client Office 3 or client deployment, Office 365 Pro Plus. So what you may be asking yourselves is, well, okay, great, now I got to update my skills again, right? And you may be thinking, well, why do I have to update the skills? Why did you do something different that makes me update my skills, right? Every time I learn something, you go and change something else, and now I got to go update my skills. Valid point. And the overall arching answer to that would be, well, things have changed. Hold on, scratch that. Technology has changed. That's not even the right way of saying it. Technology changes, right? It's an ever-evolving thing. If anyone's been in this industry for at least 6 months, you've probably seen that things have changed. Technology has changed. From an Office perspective specifically, one of the things that's changed is we've been making investments in Office 365 Pro Plus that pretty much are a result of trends and factors we're seeing in the industry. And the biggest one, a couple of them we see are the devices that everyone uses. Right? About, what, seven, eight or so years ago, when I went to work in an office, I was assigned a PC. And in that office, if there was someone who was really special, they may have gotten a laptop. Even more special, they got a BlackBerry. Well, now things are changing. All right? People are using a bunch of different devices. How many people here use three or more devices typically? And for those on the recording or watching this later, it's about 75%. And that's a typical use case, right? A lot of people use several devices. And one of our goals with Office was to make sure you can be productive on whatever device you want. If it's your iPad, if it's your, laptop, if it's a PC, if it's your mobile device, we want to enable you to be productive. And so a lot of the changes that we're implementing in Office is a result of our goal to make sure you can use Office on whatever device you want. So not only is what we work on changing, always changing, it's also how do we work? How do we operate? How do we like to communicate? That's changed as well. So some people, and I think you've heard this, for the past few years, oh, we got three different versions or three different generations of people in the workforce. And people like to work differently. Some people like face-to-face. Some people like to hide, or excuse me, some people like to communicate via email. Right? That one-on-one is very direct and it's very clear. Some people like one-to-many or many-to-many. Right? All that collaboration is great. It surfaces all these ideas. It's fantastic. But it's a very personal experience. Right? So how you communicate and how you operate is different, depending on who you are. And there's no right or wrong way. I've got a couple teenage nieces who make fun of me for still being on Facebook and still sending text messages. Who sends text messages, Uncle Kurt? So luckily, my own kids aren't old enough, but they make fun of me for other things. Anyway, so what we work on and how we work, how we operate, have been changing. And we want to make sure that you can use Office and be productive no matter how you like to work and wherever you like to work and how. Then it comes to the cloud, right? And this is nothing new with Office, right? The cloud has been a non-reversible technology or change that we've seen for the past several years, right? And for Office 365 Pro Plus, the cloud is an enabler. It enables you to use any device you want. You're not just boxed in to the corporate environment, right? You're not boxed into just those walls of your corporation. It also enables you to work on any type of device. And so that's the big thing. And that's why Office 365 Pro Plus really positions you and your company to be productive anywhere you want. From a technical standpoint, one of the things that Office is changing, so about a year-ish ago, when we released Office 365 Pro Plus, we were saying, hey, listen, you really want to get this version rather than Office 2013 Professional Plus because you get Office on up to 5 devices, right? That was our big selling point, which is pretty much all the devices you'll ever need, plus 5 mobiles. We're also saying, hey, side-by-side is great. Great for compatibility projects, great for deployment efforts. It's really going to solve a bunch of things. Plus, we were saying, oh, and this is our future, right? This is where we're spending all of our investment, all of our time. So get on the train now. Now it was more of a promise is what we were offering. Office 365 Pro Plus is our way forward. It would behoove you, hint, hint, to start deploying now to make sure that you can get on where the industry is going, or where we want the industry to go, or where we think the industry is going. Well, that was a year ago-ish, year over a year ago. Since then, we've made so many investments in Office 365 Pro Plus, above and beyond that of what Office 2013 Professional Plus, and again, I will talk about what the differences are, that promise has now, you know, come into fruition. So last June, actually at TechEd last year, we announced, okay, Office Mobile iPhones is now available. I think it was July, it was Office Mobile and Android devices. Only if you're Office 365 subscribers, right? So you get a license for Office 365 Pro Plus, now you can use Office Mobile on iPhones. Then in February, it was Power BI for Office 365 came out. And if you want to use a Power Map add-in, it's available in Excel for Office 365 Pro Plus, but not Office 2013. Then a month ago, Office for iPads, right? And if you're an Office 365 Pro Plus subscriber, you now can use Office on iPads. So before it was 5 PCs or Macs and 5 mobiles. Now it's 5 PCs or Macs, 5 mobiles, 5 iPads. 5 tablets, really, of which iPad is the only qualifying tablet. Right, all for one license. And that's where we can, oh, and just, what, 2 weeks ago, now OneDrive Pro for Business is now part of Office 365 Pro Plus. Oh, yeah, and you get a terabyte of online storage with that one license. So that's where, and this is where we're trying to demonstrate. This is our path forward. And, you know, we've been saying this forever. We got a new CEO. We're a devices and services company. We are investing in Office as a service to make sure that Office, you can be productive wherever you go. So this is what we're going to talk about today. Basically, we're going to follow the typical Office 365 Pro Plus onboarding and deployment process. Well, the first thing you would do is spin up an Office 365 environment or an Office 365 tenant, add users, sign licenses. Then you start the deployment, activation, and then you manage it, you know, operationally and update it. Adding users and assigning licenses is not unique to Office 365 Pro Plus. It is a onboarding or enabling step for other Office 365 services like Exchange Online, Link Online, Yammer, SharePoint Online. So we're going to focus mainly on the Pro Plus specific topics. So we're going to talk about deployment, then we'll go into activation and management or updating. The deployment's going to be the meat. If you want to know more about those first topics, right, the identity management topics, we've got a bunch of great sessions this week. Two of them focus specifically on Office 365 identity management. Right, tomorrow there's a great session. Paul Andrews leading it about identity options in Office 365 Pro Plus. And then on Thursday, there's a deeper session. We talk about federation. What's our path forward there? What are our current solutions in directory synchronization? I would encourage you to go to those sessions if you want to know more about how to onboard now and how to position yourself for the future. We made some great recent announcements in the identity space about Azure Active Directory Sync services. That's really cool, and it's really going to help Pro Plus as well. All right, deployment time. So when we talk about Office 365 Pro Plus deployment, the first thing we talk about is our deployment technology. And I would have said a year ago, our new deployment technology. Right now, it's not so new. It is actually the deployment standard, the deployment technology standard for Office. Click-to-run is based on at V5. So it is not at V5. It is not the at V agent, but it's click-to-run is based off on at V5. And that is our new deployment technology. That is our deployment technology for Office. What I first want to do is talk about, well, what are the difference between the traditional, the MSI, which we're now considering legacy deployment technology, with click-to-run, right? What's the big deal? What is Office 365 Pro Plus and Office 2013 Professional Plus? What's the difference? So the first thing at the bottom, I think it mentions, yeah, so click-to-run, or C2R, click-to-run deploys Office 365 Pro Plus. Windows Installer, or MSI, deploys Office 2013 Professional Plus. So I'll go through, there's a few key differences, and then there's a ton of similarities. Basically, the first one is the deployment type. Right? So Click2Run is based off of ATV5. One of the features of ATV is the ability to do streaming. And Click2Run streaming is a lot more analogous to video streaming than ATV and app virtualization in the past. What that means is you can now start the install, and I'm using sarcastic air quotes when I say install, and within about a minute or two, you can be up and running while the rest of it streams down in the background, just like a movie. Or last night when I got off the plane, I started, you know, went to HBO Go and watched Game of Thrones immediately. And I started watching it on my very slow internet connection, but who cared? The rest of the movie just streamed down. The difference with video streaming is that Pro Plus stays there. And so the big advantage is now when people say, well, how long does it take to install a piece of software? What they're really asking is, well, how long until I can use the software? Well, now with Click2Run, those are two different answers. Right? So I can start the install and I can be using Office within a minute or two, while the rest of it takes 5 or 6 minutes. And I said that is a lot quicker because it's streamed. We're using our virtualization technology. We're not doing the normal file system activities that an MSI installation typically does. Installing the files, then the registry keys, running all the custom actions, registering all your COM objects. Right? It's a lot more like, Click2Run is a lot more like an Xcopy than in the past. The other biggest change from a deployment perspective is how we're doing our updating or servicing model. Right? One of the best things about Windows Installer from a servicing standpoint, an installation standpoint, is that it is considered a database transaction. Right? We developed the Windows Installer technology, well, we released it in 2000, because we wanted to standardize how installs get done and make sure that there is not a somewhat state of a computer. It's either installed or it's not. Right? Yes or no. That's the great biggest benefit of Windows Installer. The challenge there is that every database transaction happens serially. So if I want to install Office 2013 and be up to the latest patch level and service pack, I got to install Office 2013 Professional Plus, then the service pack, then the latest updates. And all those activities happen serially, and that can take over 20 minutes. Well, with Office 365 Pro Plus, I'll give you the spoiler alert. The punchline is you are at most one update away from being current, no matter what version you have on your computer right now. Because what happens is we release it in builds, and a delta update happens, and it's a calculated update. So it compares what do you have versus what are you getting. So no matter what you have, you're one update away from being the latest version. It's great from an operating system deployment perspective, because now you can put, let's say, Office 365 Pro Plus in your WIM or in your deployment engineering. Then when you actually deploy the image out there, you can run a single update, and now you're up to date. You don't have to keep updating your image or your image engineering process to keep getting a new client, let's say, every quarter. One update, and you're at the latest version. So from a deployment perspective, from an OS deployment perspective, deploying your OS with Office 365 Pro Plus is going to be a lot faster. The other change is licensing and activation. And those are kind of under the hood. But right now we're based on user-based licensing, not machine-based. So before you can install Office on one computer and maybe another. Now, and that's why you get Office on up to 5 devices, because your identity, you provide your credentials, and now you can get Office on up to you can activate Office on up to 5 different PCs or Macs. You can install it on more devices than that, but only 5 active at a time. Which kind of makes sense, right? Because my laptop doesn't need Office. This computer that I'm presenting from doesn't need Office. I need it. I need to use Office wherever I am. So I want to make sure that I'm not tied to being productive by connecting physically at my workspace or remotely connecting to the workspace. I want to be active and I want to be useful, I guess, wherever I am. And activation, basically now activation happens in the cloud, in the Office 365 service. That's the biggest change. Is that there's no more on-prem KMS or activation component. It's now moved to the cloud. You can deploy and update everything in Office 365 Pro Plus, just like any other piece of software, all on-prem, but activation happens in the cloud. And that's another change. Because it's user-based licensing, when you first launch Office, you need to provide credentials. That's a big change for your end users. Now you sign into Office. And there are some other ways to suppress that, especially if you're in a federated environment. You can use something like ADFS to federate your on-prem Active Directory with your Office 365 environment. And that activation activity happens all under the covers. So although you are signing in and activating, it just takes your domain creds, passes them through. So it would appear to your end users that there is no sign-in. It's treated like, it appears like any other Office product. So that's the difference.
If their UPN is different, if their signing credentials are different, can you still suppress that or pass that through?
Yeah, so the question was, if their UPN is different than their sign-in credentials, can you still suppress that? The answer is yes. One of the neat new things about the new identity options with ADFS is there's now a concept of an alternate login ID. So if in an environment a former company used to work for, we have special employee IDs as your user ID instead of like your email address, now you can, under the covers, use an alternate login. So you can log in with your email address while still providing logging in with your, you know, like your SAM account name that may be different. So that's the difference. Deployment and updates, licensing and activation. Everything else is exactly the same. Whoops, wrong computer. You still need the same system requirements. Click-to-run, although it's based off of AppV, will still integrate with other applications, will integrate with the operating system. Also, it's the exact same object model. If you have a macro, if you're using add-ins, they work for Office 2013, they'll work for Office 365 Pro Plus. Right? Same extensibility model, same object model. Our future investments are going to be in the new cloud app model, the apps for Office model. So we're making sure that our legacy extensibility model, right, object model and APIs, are static. They're not changing. If you want to deploy it with Config Manager or whatever deployment product you have, that's fine. One of our design goals was that it can snap in into any software distribution, any product or any tool that will run or any process that will run an elevated command can install Click-to-Run. Those are the only requirements. Also, that last item, selective application installation, that's actually brand new. Is anyone at SharePoint conference a few months ago? Great. Then if you weren't there and you didn't see Jeremy Chapman's presentation, then I will be the first one to tell you some brand new news. That's first publicly released here, unless you were at SharePoint conference. Office telemetry, it's great for helping compatibility and making sure that you can figure out, hey, what do you have? What are you actually using? Rather than trying to inventory everything out there. It's great for helping manage change. That comes with either one. And then using Office offline, not a problem. You don't have to be connected to the internet every day. Because of the cloud activation model, you need to be connected at least once every 30 days just to make sure, hey, do I still have a license? And now can, it's a subscription model. Can I use it for another 30-ish days? And just because it's Office 365 Pro Plus does not mean you're storing data in the cloud. Or if you're using Office 2013 Professional Plus, that doesn't mean you're limited to storing things on-prem. Either one gives you either option. Right? It's all the same. You can decide I'm ready to store data in the cloud or I want to install things or store things locally. Neither product locks you into a different model. Wrong computer again. All right. So another reason why you may want to learn more about Click-to-Run and make sure that you're ready for Office 365 Pro Plus now is because the other punchline is over 95% of all legitimate Office 2013 and higher installs today, by legitimate, I mean non-pirated, are based on Click-to-Run, right? This is up on the screen is all the different, I think it's 18 different ways you can purchase Office or Office 365 that includes the Office apps like Excel, Word, PowerPoint. Of these, there are two that still use MSI technology. If you go into Best Buy and buy Office 365 Home or Personal, you're leveraging Click-to-Run. Only Office Professional Plus 2013 and Office Standard use MSI technology. So what that means is that Click-to-Run is not becoming the standard. It is the standard. 95% of Office 2013 installs and higher and later are based on Click-to-Run. And we have been proactively working with our ISVs to make sure that they understand that Click-to-Run is not just the new thing. This is our way forward. This is today. To make sure that ISVs are building add-ins that make sure, hey, take the Click-to-Run into consideration. That's our standard. That's our technology. All right, from a deployment perspective, for Pro Plus, there's basically two ways, self-service or through a deployment tool. Right? You can go right to office.com, click sign in, provide your credentials, and you'll be brought up with an install button. Piece of cake. Right? So if you buy Office 365 Pro Plus or Office 365 E3, you don't need that the home use program, which I used to say was awesome, right? $10 and you get Office at home. Now you get Office on up to 5 devices. Active at the same time. You can just go to office.com, sign in, click install. Those are your instructions you need to send out to your end users. Here's how you get Office at Home. Surprisingly easy. The other way is deploy it locally. Right? You can obtain the Office 365 Pro Plus Media and deploy it yourself. Both methods use click to run. Right? You go to the portal, it streams down from there. You can be up and running within a minute while the rest of it streams down, or you deploy with something like Config Manager. It will stream down from the distribution points, or if you download it locally, it'll stream from wherever you download it, and you can launch it immediately. Or if you're doing software deployment at night and during non-business hours where the users don't see it, it's just like any other software application. That was one of our design goals. Make sure Office can be deployed like anything else. So if you want to deploy on-prem and you want to use, let's say, Config Manager, I'm going to say Config Manager a lot today because that's what I know the best, but you could use Intune, BigFix, Tivoli, it's the same now, right? Alteris, Landesk, whatever process you want. As long as it can run an elevated command, you can use any tool. But in order to use that deployment, if you want to obtain the bits yourself, you have to get the Office deployment tool. The good news is it's free. It's a free download. Go to download.microsoft.com. It's about a 1 meg file. And you end up getting that contains a setup.exe. This is basically a bootstrapper. And then a sample XML file. And that's it. And this is all you need to deploy it locally. Literally, anyone in the world can get the Office deployment tool because it's free, which means anyone in the world can now get the Office 365 Pro Plus Media. There are three different modes. I'll talk about that later. And then we get the sample command or sample XML that comes with it. And this is actually almost the most you can do with it. This is probably the biggest XML file I've seen. It just configures the install experience only, which is great because being up and running is very, very easy. So as an example, the syntax you use, setup.exe slash the mode, and there's only three different modes, and then the path to your XML file. So I could run setup slash download and pass it my XML call configuration. Again, there's only three modes. The first one is download. If I want to get the Office Pro Plus Media to have and then deploy on my own, I have to get the Office deployment tool first, then run it with a slash download to pull down the media. You can't go to MSDN. You can't go to the Volume License Service Center. You can't get it on DVD. I was about to say CD. So if you go into Best Buy, you're not going to come out with a DVD of Office. You're going to get an index card that says go to office.com and hit install with a product key. So what that means, anyone in the world can get this tool, download the media. And now they have it. Now, in order to deploy it and activate it, actually, in order to activate it, they need a license. But download is how you get the media. Now you have it in your own environment. Slash configure is how you deploy it, how you update it, how you uninstall it. That's why there's no slash install. So download gets the bits. Configure deploys the bits. And believe it or not, it's really just that easy. There's also a slash packager. And there's another session this week about how to make Office in Office 2013 as an AppV package. What the slash packager will do is convert the click-to-run media into a native AppV package. So now if you want to deploy it as an AppV package, if you have AppV5 or Config Manager 2012 SP1, it's now a piece of cake. It's command line driven. It takes like 3 or 4 minutes to actually create the actual AppV package. It's a lot more consistent across any environment you're in. There is a XML file. We have a bunch of TechNet articles that says here's all the settings you can do in the config XML. I find it a lot more clearer to actually go through an example. And I'm going to highlight the items in green. Source path. When you're doing a download, source path says where am I going to download the files to? Right, you get them from the cloud. That's the only source. The source path is where you're going to download it to. If I do an install or if I do slash configure, that says, okay, where am I going to get the source files from? So your source path always says my files are going to be downloaded from to here or installed from there. Office Client Edition, 32 or 64. The product for Office Pro Plus, it's Office 365 Pro Plus Retail. You can also do Visio or Project, OneDrive for Business. Those are also valid product IDs. It uses the exact same media. Language, you can specify, that's the English language. You can specify more than one language. That's the equivalent of downloading and installing a language pack. And then, this is the brand new thing that if you weren't at SharePoint Conference, I'm the first one to announce. This month, we are adding the ability to selectively not install certain applications with Office 365 Pro Plus. Hey, all right, yeah, all right. So this is brand new. It'll be released this month. And the way you do that in the config XML is you say, here's what I want to exclude. I don't want to provide access. I don't want to provide InfoPath. Or if you only want to provide Outlook, let's say you're doing a notes to exchange migration, you only want to upgrade the Outlook client, you would exclude everything but Outlook. Same if I only want to provide Link. This is brand new. And then the updates element, you can determine, do I want to turn on automatic updates? And we'll get to how the update model works. And if so, where am I going to get my updates from? So you have a lot more control over where those updates come from. All right, here's a real world example that when I'm working with coworkers or customers, I usually copy and paste this into an email and say, hey, here's a config XML to get you started. I call it here.xml. One thing you'll notice is there is no source path attribute. It's missing. When there is no source path attribute, that says when I'm doing a download, I'm going to download the stuff to the current directory. Or if I'm doing an install or configure, I'm going to install from the current directory. Great if you're pushing out Pro Plus to all your distribution points, or you're going to download it into CCM cache first, then you don't need to specify where am I installing from, you just install it from here. So what this will do, if I run setup, oh, here's my here.xml, it's in the same folder as my Office deployment tool, the setup.exe. If I run setup/download and pass it to here.xml, the result is I download Office in the current directory. Right? So I can run that all the time, get the latest build. It creates this folder structure. It automatically creates it for you, the Office, and then data, then a folder that references the build number. Another thing you're going to need to get used to with Office Pro Plus is build numbers. We'll talk about that during updates. But basically, a new build is released every month, and that's represented by the build number. I think on the screen that is the April 2014 build. In that V32, and then the V32_buildnumber.cab is the a cab file that contains like a version descriptor and a hash file just to make sure, hey, is this genuine, what's inside? And then you download, this right here is the Office 365 Pro Plus Media. That's it. These six files, the last two are the big ones. This is your Office 365 Pro Plus Media. You can put this on a USB stick and now install it. You can copy it to a file share, stage it in your config manager distribution points. If I want to install it, I'd run setup/configure and then do here.xml, because I'm just that's the name of this. And then what would happen is I would install it from the current directory. Let's see. Oh, I have a display level equals none, which means I'm going to silently install 32-bit Office 365 Pro Plus in English with automatic updates enabled. And honestly, it's just that easy. A year-ish ago, I was working with the Office 365 Pro Plus Rapid Deployment Program, where we worked with some of our early adopters. If you've seen case studies from the Walsh Group or Sephora or Fox Studios, they were our early adopters, and I went on site with all of them to make sure that we could deploy Pro Plus to about 500 seats. And what we found out is the deployment part was the easy part. We allocated about 3 days for this activity because it was brand new, and it was a half a day of me yapping and about an hour of us putting it in there and testing it. We're really surprised. No, I mean, it's how it works. Piece of cake. All right, finally, less yapping. So what I'm going to do is show some XML samples and start deploying some in action so you can see what they look like. So I've numbered a bunch, and this is the one similar to what you just saw. One thing you'll notice is I only have an add element. Everything else when I do a download is ignored. So I'm going to open up in this folder, in my ODT folder. Let's see, what do I have? Yeah, I've got my setup.exe, the config XML that gets downloaded when I download the Office deployment tool, and then a bunch of samples. So I'm going to run setup/down. I'm going to spell it right. And then I'm going to download it in the current directory. And what you'll see, hopefully, and okay, so I create my Office folder, creates the data folder, creates the build number, creates those v32.cab files, and the build, these are the exact same file The reason there's a build number on one of them is because if you update this, run this again when there's a newer build, it'll again download in the current directory, but it creates a different folder based on that build number. And the v32.cab will get overwritten, but the build number won't. Then it downloads it in here, and although I think I have a fast internet, it hasn't fully downloaded. I'll show you what the results look like, because I've done this before in a folder called Office Source 1, and Office Data. I've got a different build number. I think that's February. And then I've got all my source files already downloaded. So this is about 1 gig of data. And those are your Office source files. Now I've got it. Now I can do whatever I want with it. And I didn't have to have a license in order to get the software. Right? There's no enablement to be able to download Office 365 Pro Plus. Literally anyone in the world has that right. All right, the next sample is if I want, instead of downloading it here, what if I want to download it somewhere else? The only difference here is I've created a source path attribute that says download it into this folder. Again, these are all commented out attributes, so it's going to be ignored, but it's very simple if I want to automate this and say I want to update this file share every month with a new build. I can run the exact same command over and over again, and I can update this folder, consider it a network share, with the new build whenever it comes out. If I want to do an install, I would do setup slash configure, and now I'm installing from a defined source. Let's say I want to install from a file share that's on a network or an HTTP path. I could put that right here. Here I've got my source path defined. I'm going to install in this directory, the 32-bit edition in English. I want to deploy an additional language. I could do that. DE, that's German. I would first have to download this before I start to install it. But it's surprisingly straightforward. Now, instead of trying to trick you, here's the install from here. I think this is what I put on the screen before. And check out this one, install from cloud. This is where I can install it directly used from the cloud, where instead of having a local source, I can say I want to get the Office Pro Plus bits from the internet. And what do you see as the difference between these two files?
Nothing.
Nothing, right, that's it, it's nothing. They're the exact same file. The reason being is that when the source path attribute isn't provided, it will look in the current directory to find the source files. If it doesn't find it, then it goes out to our cloud. Right, so this is great, now it enables more scenarios. I can deploy 1 meg of stuff using Config Manager, but I can use, I can in a sense outsource my distribution points, outsource my infrastructure to the Microsoft cloud. It'll download it from officecdn.microsoft.com. And so it'll install under the system context, but the source will come from the cloud. It's great for internet connected computers or branch office scenarios. But yeah, it's really kind of cool. So in a real world example, I'm going to go to deployment samples. If I wanted to stage this in Config Manager, my command line would be, let's see, in this case, setup slash configure space install. I'm going to actually copy that because my source files are right here. This would be my application source. I've got a file called install XML. Config Manager, or whatever my tool is just 900K of data. That's it. So now, again, the source will come from the cloud. Right? I've outsourced my distribution points. Internet-based client management. Perfect. I'll send them 900K and let the cloud do the rest. Oh, I forgot to show you OneDrive for Business. So the last example I wanted to show you, in my ODT, I've got a file called ODFB, OneDrive for Business. Not only can I deploy Office 365 Pro Plus using the Office deployment tool, what if I want to just deploy the OneDrive for Business sync client? Right? Say I'm not ready to go to Office, the latest version of Office client, but I want to take advantage of syncing my SharePoint 2013 libraries. Well, I can use the deployment tool. There's only three things I want to point out here. First, I'm using the same source as I've used before. The exact same source files are used for Office Pro Plus, for Visio, for Project, for OneDrive for Business. Right? That 1 gig of files contains all the different products. The other thing is I am activating using a product key because to deploy the OneDrive for Business sync client, I don't need an Office 365 account, So, and this product key is online. It's either a KB article or a support article that says use this. And now it's going to activate using a product key. Last thing is I am installing Groove Retail, not O365 Pro Plus Retail. Groove is a name, of course, we invented ourselves. No, wait, we bought it. And we still haven't changed it. But that's all that's different. The end result, the footprint you install will be a lot smaller, but you're only going to get the OneDrive for Business Sync client in Programs and Features. Or if you do an inventory, you'll see I have OneDrive for Business Sync client installed. Oh, so now I'm installing. I'm about 40-ish percent, and my shortcut should be available. Whoops, EX. Oh, there we are. And yep, I have installed on top of Office 2010, but who cares? And now it's going to install and launch, and eventually it will. Oh, there it is. Groovy. So again, the streaming's taking place. I've got, I'm 48% installed, but I can, now I'm up and running and I can use Excel. And this is the activity that will happen once per device, right? You have to sign in to prove that you have a license for Office. So I'll provide my credentials. It will say, give me your password, hopefully I'll get that right. But now I can start to use Office while it's streaming in the background, right? So if I go to a computer that doesn't have Office, I can stream it from the portal, thank you, and I can start to use it. Pretty groovy. All right, I'm going to continue on. Where am I? Oh, I want to go back to the presentation. That's where I am. All right, activation. So one thing we just saw is I signed in. Right? Piece of cake. That will happen once per device. I never have to sign in again. So when you deploy Office, it's an entirely separate activity from activation. Activation happens when you first launch it. Then it's going to say, hey, give me credentials. Or if you're federated, you have ADFS or something like that, then your credentials will automatically be passed through. So that activation activity, that says, okay, now I want to provide credentials and make sure, do I have the appropriate license? Is this person, am I, licensed to use Office? So there are a couple activation activities, and a couple times we've gotten some things tripped up in some customers. But it's pretty straightforward. When I first launch Office, these are all the various activation activities. When I first launch it, it's going to try and activate. And this data is what's going to be passed to the cloud, to your Office 365 tenant. So from an operating system deployment perspective, if you want to include Office in your deployment, you would install Office but not launch it. Before, that was our recommendation. Now it's a requirement. So the user would be the first one to launch it. Because if you launch it as part of your operating system imaging process, that starts the activation process. And if you, as soon as you launch Office for the first time but don't activate, you have 5 days of grace in order to use Office before it goes into reduced functionality mode. Right? That's why anyone in the world can install Office, but you have to have a license to actually use it, well, for more than 5 days. All right, then there is a heartbeat. It's implemented via a scheduled task that runs every day that checks, hey, do I have a license? Now that check, although it happens every day, doesn't have to succeed every day. What it does, it contacts the Office Licensing Service, the OLS, to say, hey, do I still have a license for it? Great, I'm going to start using it. Happens under the covers. Users aren't interrupted. Yeah, that has to succeed at least once every 30 days. Those are your internet requirements. So you have to be active at least once every 30-ish days, really. It's not exactly 30, and it's purposeful. So that has to succeed. So you can be offline as much as you want. If you're not, if once every 30 days you're connected, that subscription check will succeed, and great, I have a license. Piece of cake. In that heartbeat check, what's going to happen is about once every 30 days, that check to the Office Licensing Service will then be passed over to the Activation and Validation Service. And then it will extend your subscription for another 30-ish days. Right? So that makes sure that you actually can keep using Office. Right? Do I have a license? Yes. Great. Extend my subscription. So that extension doesn't happen every day I use Office. It's about once every 30 days. And we have a TechNet article at the bottom. You can download this presentation later. And it gives you a TechNet article. Here's all the data that's actually sent to your Office 365 environment. If you're concerned or you have compliance or security folks that want to know, well, what happens during activation? This is a simple explanation that's more detailed, more explained in detail in TechNet. So it's pretty simple. Things that have tripped up customers in the past is that because the subscription check happens as a scheduled task, that task is run under the system account. So in order for activation to work, the system account needs to have access to the internet. So in an environment where you have firewalls or proxy servers where you're specifically whitelisting specific URLs and ports and protocols, we may have challenges. So we publicly documented this over a year ago. These are the ports, protocols, and URLs you need for all the click-to-run activities to succeed. The kicker is it's unauthenticated access. Because it happens under the system context, it's not the user that is performing that activation. You provide your credentials, and then the service. Actually, when you install Office, part of the architecture is you get a new service. That's what connects to the internet. So anonymous access is required to those URLs. And we have a technical article that documents all this. So I have worked in environments where this was the hard part. We've documented, OK, you need access to this. OK, no problem. We'll just whitelist them. And then there's a conversation with the network team. Our security team won't allow it. Then there's a conversation with the security team. So although it's very simple, you need to whitelist these, as an example, for unauthenticated access. That may involve a larger discussion. And that's all the activation activity, I think, that we wanted to talk about, because activation just happens. Works great. Yeah. Certainly. So the question is, I'll paraphrase. Let's say I go on maternity leave, or I'm gone for over 30 days, and my computer's off. I come back in, what happens? Not a problem. I launch Office, it checks, hey, I got a license, it's fine. So there won't be any interruption. So although your computer can be off for more than 30 days, when you start to use it, it'll do that check at that point. Yeah. It's 5 days from when the first app is launched. Yep, on the machine. So the question was, what happens if a user launches it, but then doesn't use it, and someone else logs on and launches it, what happens? 5 days of grace starts from the first time you launch an Office app. And if you don't activate, Office on that machine is only valid for 5 days. No. The question was, does each user have to activate? Activation happens for the first person who logs on to that device. So actually, that's a great question. A clarification should be, you get Office on 5 unique devices. Right? So if I install Office on this computer, this Dr. Pepper can will represent a computer, and someone else uses it, this computer is associated with my account in Office 365, not anyone else's. So other people can use this, and Office will still work. All right, I'm going to hold all questions to the end because I'm already a little bit behind. And I want to talk a lot about update management, which works great. But please, at the end, please come and see me if you have other questions or I'm not explaining something well. All right, so update management, the servicing overview. In general, updates, the update management process has changed for the better, depending on your viewpoint. But we've made it a lot more streamlined. It's a lot easier to manage. The punchline is that every month, we release a brand new build of Office 365 Pro Plus. And every month is every Patch Tuesday.
Tomorrow.
Which is coming up really soon. It's Patch Tuesday, second Tuesday of every month. Check your calendars. But what happens is we no longer release service packs. We no longer release hot fixes or patches or updates. It is a brand new build that gets released every month. So the April build was released on Patch Tuesday in April. The May build will be released on Patch Tuesday in May. It's the full 1 gig worth of source files every month. What happens, though, is the clients never download that 1 gig. They download the deltas. So because we don't release patches, we don't release updates or service packs, the delta is calculated on the fly. What build do I have? What build am I updating to? Download deltas only. Right? And that enables you to be at most one update away from being current because it calculates it on the fly. You post a build. Right? We don't release the delta. We release a build, and the client can, calculates the delta. And all updates every month, it's cumulative of the previous month, which is why in service pack terms, right, in February, we released Service Pack 1. Or in Office 365 Pro Plus, Service Pack 1, which is on the recording. Those are sarcastic air quotes again. Because Service Pack 1 was just a milestone, right? It's because we have a traditional product, Office 2013 Professional Plus, where we had a mega service pack that contained everything that was released from the beginning. Well, the update model with Office 365 Pro Plus is we're introducing change a month at a time. So the service pack build was just like any other monthly update. And so they're really, although we called it Service Pack 1, it's just, you know, for milestone purposes. This change is coming in May to enable application deselection. That's not a mega milestone build, it's just the May build. The Service Pack 1 build was the February build. But the good news is the clients download the updates in the background. And you know, the clients, the end users never see anything. So when I say client, I mean the Office client downloads it in the background. And then when Office isn't running, it'll apply it. Or if you reboot, it'll apply it. There's a lot of different options that are available that provide IT a lot more controls than just having the client check the internet every day and then download a build when it's there. But this allows you to take a lot more control of change in your environment than before. Because we're managing change in very consistent, small chunks, this gives you a lot more opportunities. Right? So change management actually takes on a different term. Before it was maybe a lot of bureaucracy, a lot of process. Now it's about introducing new change and introducing the new exciting features. But going forward, all builds, there will be updates only. Right? Updates because a client will check for a new build and download the update. No more upgrades. Another punchline. Office 365 Pro Plus will be the last Office client you deploy. That's it. Future versions, updates, service packs, whatever we're going to call them, are going to be downloaded via a monthly build process. And that you can control. But the good news is, because that change is going to happen consistently, right? It's a monthly build from here on out. Now you can wrap process around it. I need to approve all updates. No problem. Here's how the updates are going to happen from here going forward. I need to test updates. No problem. I need to add some automation. Great. That consistency enables you to wrap process and wrap automation around it. And I'll talk about some new changes that were just released the last few months that help that automation. All right. Oh, yeah. And then one of the taglines is because we're now, and Office is now following our change control model in Microsoft. It's another example of how we're managing change in small, we're doing more frequent but less impactful changes. So a tagline I've heard is manage change via small ripples rather than big disruptive waves, where every few years I got to stop and say, oh, now I got to inventory my Office environment. I got to make sure all my crap works, and I got to stop, hold on, the service pack's coming. Forget it, I'll just wait for another 3 more years. And that's a mindset we want to help you get out of to make sure that change is a lot easier to manage and a lot more consumable, but you still have all the control. So there are two-ish options. There are really three, but there's two flavors of the same option. The default option, I go out to Best Buy and download on my computer. There's a scheduled task that gets created that checks every day for the cloud. Hey, is there a new build? Is there a new build? Is there a new build? And every patch Tuesday, when we release a new brand new build, it'll say, oh, look, there's a brand new build. I'm going to download the deltas in the background, entirely abstracted from the person on the computer, and then it's going to apply it when Office isn't running or if you reboot. But yeah, it happens daily. There's a scheduled task that controls it. That's great for the whole hands-off approach because obviously everyone here trusts that Microsoft will release code that will have no problems at all. Right, and your giggles mean, oh, 100% true, I agree. Just in case there's like one of you that doesn't follow that, we offer other options, right? So you can enable Office to look for an internal source instead of the cloud to say, I want to look for a new build here, not your cloud. So the scheduled task still runs all the time, but now you can control, well, when is my environment going to go to that new build? So a new build comes out, patch Tuesday, in May perhaps, this week. You can now download that build and test it yourself, install it on 10, 20, 50 clients, however many you want, validate that things are still working. Then once you've decided, okay, this build works in my environment, now you can publish that to your internal share, your internal source, share, file share, HTTP path, UNC, whatever. And then when the scheduled task checks again, it's going to say, oh, look, there's a new build on my internal source. Download the builds, apply it when the Office isn't running. I'm purposely leaving something out I'm going to get to in the next slide. But the other option, let's say you don't want to do automatic updates. You can rerun the Office deployment tool. When you run setup.exe, it does the same thing as automatic updates. If there's a client, or excuse me, a version of the, a build on the machine, it'll check what build do I have, what build is in my source, what am I updating to, and only download the deltas. So if you want to use Config Manager or existing software distribution tool to help manage updates, now you have more throttling control. I'm going to do 5% of my environment today, 10% tomorrow, 20% the next night. Right? You can control that. Even if you use automatic updates from an internal source, you don't have to go up update every month. You can go bi-monthly, quarterly, whatever you're comfortable with. There is also new in last month. There are group policy settings we just released, I think 2 weeks ago, that allow you to control the automatic update behavior via group policy. So before, when I said you can put it in an internal share, internal source, right? Before, you had to do that at install time. You configure your install to say, where am I getting my updates from? Now you can manage it via group policy. And you can have a distributed environment as vast as your Active Directory OU structure or site structure is. So you can say, OK, my pilot group or my beta group or my developer group, whatever you want to call it, they're going to be configured to get automatic updates from the cloud. So that every month, they're going to be the default testers or validators of the new Office. Then, you know, a few weeks later, once they've validated, hey, things are working, now you can update your internal share, and then everyone else, or people in that OU, or people in that site, will download it. One of the things that I mentioned earlier, which I kind of breezed over, is that when updates download, they will sit there until Office isn't running, and then it'll apply. Well, what if you're in an environment where you have people who, like myself, where every time they leave the office, they just lock their computer and go home? Outlook is running, or Link, or whatever, any Office app. Updates will never apply, because the updates will only apply when Office apps aren't running. That's a problem. The default behavior for automatic updates is if after 3 days where you've downloaded the new build but haven't yet updated it, if that state is there for 3 days, what's going to happen is the end user will see a little toast notification from the taskbar. Hey, updates are ready to apply. That's the scheduled task. That's a system account putting up that toast. The user hits it, and it'll update usually in less than a minute. And I'll actually demo that. With group policy, you can configure that I don't want those end user notifications to occur. Right? That's another new change that got released. Also a recent change in February. Well, yeah, with the SP1, again, sarcastic air quotes, build, we released a new executable as part of the Office client, Office C2R client.exe, which automates the Update Now feature that's built into every Office app. So you go to the File tab and then hit Account. You'll see Update Options. Yeah, then Update Now, where it automatically does a check. Well, now there's a new command line tool that can automate that whole experience. We've got a blog article that will document here's all the settings that does document. Here's all the settings you can do with it, all the command line parameters. It's great for enforcement. So I've enabled automatic updates in my environment. And some people haven't, you know, selected the up, you know, hey, apply updates now. They may ignore all those toasts. Well, now you can run this command line to enforce them to go. You can force the shutdown of all apps. It'll launch again. Your data will be there. I'll demo that. But it's great. Because some people say, well, how do I know what the right patch level is? My compliance team needs to know, hey, is this patch there? Again, with Office Pro Plus, we release builds. And the build is part of the, it's registered in programs and features. So if you use any standard in Config Manager, the hardware inventory reports to see what's in add and remove programs, you'll see the version. So now you can see, OK, clients that aren't at this build, now I'm going to run this command to get them up to the latest build. So now your standard hardware inventory reports are basically your compliance reports as well. This also enables downgrades, which is great for a backout plan, right? So now I've upgraded my, let's say in that scenario where I have my beta group or my developer group getting automatic updates from the cloud. What if in the off chance that something goes wrong? Well, now you've got a means to back them out. There's a command line tool that you can automate to say, I'm going to go from this build to that build. Whether the two builds, you're going to a newer build or an older build, it's fine. So let's now, oh yes, and there's the blog article, excuse me, yeah, blog article. My good friend Jalal on the Office deployment support team created an article that says, here's how you use these new command line features.
So, oh, let me show my screen. I am going to go to all right, so what I have now is, do I have Excel? Excel, not Rexel, Excel, yes. All right, so I've got Excel. I'm going to open it up. I'm going to write a very complicated formula. 7 plus 6 equals, don't tell me. 13, yes.
Knew it.
All right, anyway. So this is my formula. What I'm not going to do is save this file. Let's go into File tab and then Account, and you'll see I've got build 15.0.4569.1507. Obviously, that's the February build, right? Right. Not very descriptive. The good news is that under Update Options, if you see View Updates, this is true on any of the Office apps, it'll bring you right to this TechNet article, this support article, that says here's all the builds. Here's all the builds that were released. Here's the latest build now. Here's all the previous ones. And it will tell you, well, what was in this build, all the different changes. So then you won't have to know, oh, obviously the one that ends in 1507, that's February 2014. Duh. We have all that documented. Oh, there's the blog article about with my buddy Jalal. Talks about the Update Now feature. Anyway, so I am at the build that ends in 1507. And I've got my super secret formula that's very complicated. Office C2R client, this is a sample command line. What I'm going to do is, the last one's the important one, update to version. I'm going to go to the next, that was the February 2014 build that I currently have installed. I'm going to go to, what's after February? March. The March 2014 build, which is 15.0.4569.1508, obviously. These other settings are about user interface. So I'm going to copy and paste this. And what you'll see is, OK, it's downloading updates. This is entirely suppressible. I'm putting this on the screen now. I'm in full interface mode so you can see what happens. But OK, what I did is I downloaded the delta between the one, the build that ends in 1507 and the build that ends in 1508. I downloaded that locally. Again, that normally happens under the covers. You won't ever see it. And again, this is also optional. With the command line tool, you can select, do I want to display this or not? If not, you can force hitting this button right now. Oh, great. That's good for a demo. And it's going to, ooh, let me start my stopwatch. So 227. And what this takes usually is about 30-ish seconds, maybe a little lower. We'll see, for the updates to apply. And hopefully it'll relaunch. Whew, and it relaunches. OK, that was 15 seconds. And my very important formula has been retained. I didn't even save my document. It just, you know, it picked up, oh, I'm going to shut things down. I'm going to update. I'm going to open it back up. Oh, and let me see if I actually updated it. So I go to Account. And now I am at 15.0.4569.1508. Very exciting. I know, right? So that's how I upgrade. If I want to do a downgrade, so what I mentioned before is like now the new concept is updates, no longer upgrades, right? You can now update using this method. Downgrades, I don't like the term down dates because that kind of sounds like a reality show. But if you want to automatically go from a newer build to an older build, I call them downgrades, but they may be a down date. I'm just going to change that from the newer build to the older one. And I'm going to run the exact same command. And now it's downloading the updates from one source to another, or it's downloading from the source I defined to the local client. And hold on, let's see. There's my document. Now I'll hit yes. And my crap will close. Excuse me, my stuff will close. It will update, and hopefully within 10 or 15 seconds, it'll open it back up. So great question. So the question was, will it work if a build's never on the computer?
No, because this executable comes with the Office client. So in order to run it, you actually have to have it installed.
No, I mean like the downgraded
client. The downgraded Office install would not come as with the installed. Correct. No, that's correct. It just does an upgrade, update, or a downgrade, downdate, is the same process. It says, what build do I have? What build am I going to? Deltas only. If it's newer or older, it doesn't matter. No, so my stuff is back, and I'll show you a secret. In my case, because I was nervous about the internet, is I cheated. Well, I didn't cheat. In my Office Source 2 folder was where I pointed my updates to. Office, data. I've got two builds stashed locally. So this is great to simulate. So I purposely have two builds in my local folder. And just to make sure that I can download seamlessly and quick for a demo, I copied them both locally, and I made sure that all the update activity happens on this VM. And this is an example of installing more than one build into the same folder. I've got one v32.cab, and it represents the last build that I downloaded into. Not the highest build, just whatever was chronologically downloaded last. So the new Office C2R client command line tool really opens up some doors about, hey, you know, automatic updates was our way forward. And whenever I go into customers, I always recommend that first, rather than using something like Config Manager to automate that, because it really gives the users, it empowers the users to make decisions. Hey, I'm ready to apply now. We now have controls where you can suppress that, and we now have a means to provide you more control where you can automate it. So we have the automatic updates are getting better and better. So I think throughout the last hour-ish, I think there were three times where I said, hey, this is new, this is new, this is relatively new. Right? This came out in February, this came out in May, or this week, this is coming out in April. That's the new model. We are releasing change as we get more feedback and we find out, hey, you know what, more customers would deploy it and use it if they had this feature in there. Can't tell you how many people have looked at me funny when I said, oh, you can't selectively not install Access if you don't want to. Why would you want to? Of course, I never said that because I used to always not select certain stuff. But that was a piece of feedback that we got saying, you know what, that's got to change. And we've enabled that. I just did that part. So if you want to know more, right? So this was about an hour-ish about a couple different topics. My good friend Dean Yamada and I, we delivered training on MicrosoftVirtualAcademy.com. Almost 7 hours. You can watch 7 hours of video of me yapping. I know, right? Where we talk about Office 365 identity topics, specifically for Pro Plus. Three modules about telemetry. Three modules about deployment, including one specifically focused on AtV. This is all public, and it includes videos and PowerPoint presentations. A lot of the stuff I showed here is publicly available on this site, MicrosoftVirtualAcademy.com. Again, that's almost 7 hours worth of content. If you want something in more consumable bytes, check out Microsoft.com Garage. It has a bunch of 15 to 20 minute videos about specific topics. I think we're in season 3 right now. Season 1 was all about click to run and client deployment topics. We brought the Garage to TechEd, and it's now downstairs in the Expo Center in the office booth, where there is about 40 or 50 chairs, and we'd have about 3 or 4 different shows. It's about 20 or 30, 15 to 20 minutes each show, about a variety of different topics. And if you go to the garage, you can win. I think today we were giving out Dell Venue Pro 8 and the Beats headphones. Those are some of the prizes if you sit there and provide your feedback thing, or you post it on Twitter. So I'd encourage you to go there if you want to find out more information. Lastly, there are some other sessions. Again, the first two are the ones I mentioned earlier. If you want to know more about identity topics, I breezed over directory sync. I didn't really mention that until just now, or federation, which I mentioned very briefly. If you want to know a lot more about it, we've got two separate sessions that talk just about identity management. And that's about enabling you to get to Office 365, which will enable you to deploy Pro Plus. The good news is if you only want to deploy Office 365 Pro Plus, you don't need to put any data in the cloud. You just need to identify your identity strategy. Put user objects in the cloud, and download the click-to-run bits, and deploy it. And then once you activate it, using those the credentials you've created. No data is stored in the cloud. It's great for customers who are like, I'm not sure about the cloud yet, but I think that's the direction the industry is going. I want to check it out. Pro Plus is a great way to start that journey.
That's all I had. So again, please fill out your evals. It's very important. If you have any questions, please go to a microphone. If you don't, I'll probably repeat it. And thank you very much for attending, guys.